Hebrews chapter 11. And if you would, once you get Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, get Genesis chapter 5 and hold that there. We'll read a couple verses from both of those passages. I do thank you all for your prayer and support for Lily and Andrew and Reese, and continue to pray for Lily. She did get to come home, but she's still recovering from the procedure there and everything. And then pray for Reese. He's still in the NICU and probably be there for a few days. And just pray for Lily that she'll be able to deal with it over the next course of the days, the baby being in the hospital and her not being able to be with it. So it is a blessing, and I'm thankful that we got on both sides, Andrew and Lily saved. That's in itself a blessing, and them two being together. I'll leave it at that before I get too emotional with it. But God's good, and He's been good this week, and thankful for Him. I think as we stand our feet and just read, we'll just read one verse of Scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5, the Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the word of God and what it means to us. Lord, the promises that it gives us, and God, the hope that it gives us beyond the days that we live. May you help me to preach your word this morning. God, may you fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me as an instrument, Lord, to speak to your people. It's in Jesus' name I make my prayer this morning. Amen, and you may be seated. I've heard it mentioned in prayer this morning a couple times, and Brother Darrell mentioned it in his prayer. And one of the things that he saw in the snow, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I listen to people's prayers, and prayer is very important. And seeing God in every aspect of your life, I think that shows a testimony for where you're at in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how God impacts your daily life, because you can see God in every aspect of your life. And also heard in prayer this morning about somebody's help our walk with God and our walk with you, and what we're doing in regards to our walk. And Enoch here, he's a lesser known character of Scripture, but Genesis 5 said he walked with God. And Hebrews 11 here tells us that he pleased God. So that tells me that walking with God must please the Lord Jesus Christ when we walk with the Lord. So what does a life of walking with God look like? And I would ask you this morning, how is your walk with God? Where is your walk with God this morning, and how are you walking? Enoch, he must have been a champion of the faith, because he's in the hall of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11. We typically call this chapter the heroes of the faith. So he must have been a champion of the faith. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he didn't see death, and he wasn't found, because God had taken him. For before his translation, the Bible said he had this testimony that he pleased God. This portion here, you got to remember that Enoch was there before the flood, and he was translated as the saints will be before the judgments of God come upon the earth. He was translated up out of here. He didn't get to see that. So God must have had some special favor on Enoch, because he didn't see what was going to happen with the flood. We know that God only spared Noah, his wife, and the children there. So we see that our testimony needs to be that we please the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those those who diligently seek Him in verse 6 of Hebrews there, chapter 11, verse 6. You know, as a Christian, you're not just someone who made a decision. You're meant to enjoy a life of intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't make a decision to get saved this morning and God just saved your unworthy soul. God wants you to have fellowship with Him this morning. And just like you want to have fellowship with your children, you want to have fellowship with your wife, God wants to have fellowship with you. And you can't have fellowship with Him if you're not walking with Him this morning. You're not going to have the fellowship that you should. We find Enoch's story in Genesis 5, and it reads like an obituary all the way down through. All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. All the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. The days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. What a dreary monetary. You know, I know some people that just get up to read the obituaries. You know, that's not the first place that I go in the newspaper is to read the obituaries. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like to read the obituaries, to be quite honest. I don't want to read the obituaries. But we read it all through this portion of Scripture here, the obituaries. But then you get down one name that stands out like a flower in all this desert of death that's going on there. And it's Enoch. Enoch's name in Genesis chapter 5, it says, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5 tells us that Enoch didn't die there. He was taken to heaven, and he was translated to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So there must have been something different about Enoch that was there, and there ought to be something different about us this morning that says we're pleasing unto God, we walk with God, we're doing what God wants us to do, because number one, if we're saved this morning, you're going to be translated. If you're here when the Lord comes, you're going to be translated up out of here. God's going to take you. You're going to be gone. And we're not going to have to see death and experience the death that's there. And Enoch's name stands out. He's got some characteristics. Now, they're hard to whittle out of Scripture. God wants you to do some work sometimes to whittle some things out of that and see the goodness that's in His Word and the things that are there. So what did Enoch do where he walked with the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, our walk with God calls for a life of faith. We have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Enoch pleased God by walking with Him. He walked with God by believing Him. So how did he believe Him, and where did he get that faith? He got his faith from the Word of God. He was with the Word of God. We know that from the John, and the Word was God, and it dwelt among us. It became flesh, and we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God is what the book of Romans said. He had the Word of God with him. Not maybe the literal book that we have in front of us today, but he had the Word of God. And you're never going to have faith this morning apart from the will of God. Faith is not guessing at the will. Faith is learning His will and believing Him. Believe what God has told you. Believing what He's written. And you're not going to have that faith if you're not in the Word this morning. You need to be in the Word this morning. I encouraged our Sunday school class this morning. You need to take the opportunities that God gives you and read your Bible. Be more fervent about your Bible than you've ever been before in 2022. Read that book. That book will change you. That book will help you to please God. That book will help you to walk with God. That book will give you what you need on a daily basis to overcome the troubles that you're going through in your life. That book will do it right there. It will change you. It changed me. It changed most of us that are in here this morning. That book will change a man. It'll change the man that's in the lowest pits of hell this morning. That one that can't do anything. That one that's a drunkard. That one that's a drug addict. They can take them and put them in every thing that's out here, every kind of different scenario that you want to put them in. But that book right there will change a man and make him what God wants him to be. It's a walking with God calls for a life of faith. You know, the Bible says that Enoch was a prophet. He prophesied. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints in Jude 1:14. Only seven generations from Adam, he prophesies of Christ's coming. I said Jude 1, it's Jude 14. he prophesied of Christ's second coming in that verse. Who taught Enoch? How did Enoch prophesy and say those? You know, I think that if we look back, Adam had walked in Eden with God. And, you know, I imagine that God had uploaded Adam with different things there, and he had told him all the glorious truths. And when Enoch was born, Adam was 622 years of age. And at that time, he was just in the prime of his life. At 622 years old, Adam and Enoch walked together for 308 years. So I can imagine that Enoch must have been asking, what was it like when God and you walked through the garden? Sure, he asked him. You know, I would ask him, what was it like? Wouldn't you like to walk through the garden with the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? We act like that God is not real. We act like that we walk through this world without the Lord this morning. But wouldn't you have liked to walk? I'm sure that Enoch asked Adam what was going on. I would have been the first there to ask him. Would you like for God to be more real to you than the person sitting next to you this morning? Is God that real to you this morning? Have you felt His presence this week? Have you felt His presence this year yet? Have you felt the presence of the Lord in your life and Him answering the prayers that you've lifted up before Him? God, I just want to thank God this morning for last week. I've been praying for over a year for Kim and her lesions. Most of you don't pay any, may not know or not pay any attention to, and she doesn't say anything. But Kim's got MS. And one of the things that we pray for on a yearly basis is, God, do not let the disease progress. Do not. And I told her, I'd been more specific this past year about my prayer. Because last year, she had progression. And something was wrong. I was like, maybe it's me. So I need to change. Something needs to change. Somebody that does the same thing over and over and over and expect a different result, what do they call it? They call it stupid. They call him a fool. So I'm going to change something if I'm not getting a result that I want. So I changed my prayer and made it more specific. And you know what? Over the course of the past year, she didn't know. But God took that prayer. And I believe that He answered that prayer. Amen. She got her results Friday. Clear as a bell. Amen. No progression. And I was, thank God. We sat in the car and cried together. God's good. But God wants you to have the faith in Him that He'll change it. It wasn't necessarily what she did. I believed that He was going to be the one to do it. And that's where faith comes in, folks. That's walking by faith. And living by faith in what God wants you to do there. What else is walking with God like Enoch did? What did he do? He had fellowship. You know, you step in by faith. By faith we believe. But you walk in fellowship. You walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, hand in hand. God wants you to be His friend. Brother Muncie said this morning that we have a friend. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He's the one that we ought to be. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know in whom I believe. Paul didn't want a preposition between him and Christ. And you may know somebody this morning or know about somebody without knowing somebody. You know, you can know somebody and not really know them. You know, you can hear things about different people and not really know them this morning. But you're to know Christ this morning intimately. I knew Kim before I started dating her. I knew who she was. She was that pretty little girl that drove that little black car, had a big bushy head of hair and a pretty red dress and all that pretty red lipstick on. And I just loved her. And she was the girl that I wanted to go out on a date with. I knew who she was. I knew she was a good girl. I knew that she was going to church, and I knew that I wasn't, and I knew that I was being bad. But you know what? I knew her, but I didn't really know her intimately until I married her. And then I found out the real person. And that's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't find out the real person in the Lord Jesus Christ until you get in that book. Until you start seeing His power in your life. How He can change your life. How He can take your money and turn your money into things that you never thought it was able to do. How God can take people in your life that were your enemies and change them and turn them into friends. People that you love. It's all because of that book. But it's when you get to know the Lord intimately that God changes things. That's called fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You start fellowshipping with Him and you'll start fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll develop a love for Him that you never had before. You'll develop a love for your church that you never had before. You'll develop a love for souls that you never had before. You'll develop a love for these little kids that you see in here that come in on the buses that you never had before. It's when you love the Lord Jesus Christ that you have that fellowship. If God only wanted service, He would use angels. Of course, we should serve God, and that's not why He created us. He created you in His image so that He could have fellowship with you. God wants to fellowship with His creation, folks. He wants to fellowship with you. You know, Christ ought to be real when you're driving, when you're doing the dishes, when you're at your desk, when you're sitting at school. Faith is not something we put on when we come to church. I don't put it on like clothing when I come to church. I have faith when I walk out the doors that God is going to do what He said He was going to do. And God didn't do these things in a monastery. Enoch didn't do them in a monastery. Genesis 5 says that he had a family. There's a family that was listed there. And doubtless he had a vocation. He had a home. He had all these things. Enoch walked with God during the days of Noah. And when violence, vice, and wickedness was so rampant that God decided to destroy the whole world with a flood. In a day of demonic force and evil times and trouble upon the earth, Enoch walked with God. And we're living in those days today that we ought to be walking with God because we see the things that are going on around us. And we're walking around with our head in the sand this morning thinking that things are going to go on as they were. And all things are not going to continue as they were because the Lord is at the doorstep and He's knocking on your heart's door this morning and He's saying, I want to walk with you. I want you to have fellowship with me and it's time for us to get up and do it. It's hard for anybody to walk with God if he does it in his own strength. God releases His power for us to walk in that Christian life day by day. And you couldn't be faithful. And you couldn't have fellowship if it weren't for the Lord in you. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes His power. Walking with God is also a life of bearing fruit. You know, most of us, we want our life to count for something. How much do we want it to count for God? Walking with God ought to be a life of bearing fruit, fruitfulness. In our life. Why was Enoch so fruitful in what he did? He had crisis in his life. Even after he began to walk with God, he had crisis in his life. What was his crisis? You say, how do you read in his crisis? He became a father, number one. He became a father. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now there's something that some probably know, but Bible names had special meanings. And Methuselah's name had a special meaning when he was given that name. And his name means, when he is gone, it will be sent. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto the servant, the prophets. Remember, Enoch was a prophet. I said he was a prophet. But when Methuselah was born, God told Enoch, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. And when this baby boy is dead, it will be sent. He kept his promise. And God is going to keep his promises that he's outlined in the Bible for us this morning. All those promises that we read about, all those promises that are taught about, all those promises that are preached upon are going to come to pass. Right. I've heard them for years, just like you have. I've heard many preachers talk about it. I've listened to many sermons on the radio. I've listened to many sermons via video. I've been to conferences. I've been to all of them. I've heard the same ones that you have, that the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Folks, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Where's your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Where's your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Where's your fruit this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ? Methuselah lived 969 years longer than anyone else in history. Why? I think I know why. I think I know why Methuselah lived so long. Because the New Testament tells us that the Lord's not slack concerning His promises. Some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think the Lord allowed him to live the longest because He was extending His mercy to a people to see what they were going to do. And I think the Lord is extending His mercy upon the land of people today to see what they're going to do. He's extending His hand to see one more soul saved. You know, we say just one more, and it might be just one more. It might be that one that would walk the aisle today and get saved in our church. It might be that one that would walk the aisle in another town's church and get saved today. I don't know. But I can tell you this, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise this morning. That some men count slackness, and we sure are slack, and I've been slack in my life at many times. But the Lord is faithful, and He's going to keep that promise that He's made here. But you know, when He said that, Jesus said, "Don't fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Don't fear those. And we don't have a fear of the Lord, as He says in Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. One of the marks of the last days is people who have no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. And we live in a generation of people who have no fear of God this morning. They don't fear God. They don't fear His judgment. They don't fear His rebuke. Buddy, I do. I know God will spank me. Hey, I don't have to worry about it. I've had to take it. And take it knowing. And God opened my eyes and let me see my sin before Him. And my disbelief in Him. And my unbelief in what He has told me to do. God is not slack concerning His promises. Some count slackness this morning, folks. But He's long-suffering. Thank God for His long-suffering this morning. And God Almighty is a God of judgment this morning. He is a God of infinite, matchless, unfathomable, glorious love. He loves you this morning. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But He is also a God of wrath this morning. And God's wrath is going to be unleashed on this land this morning. We think that America is going to stand forever. America is going to crumble just like the rest of the nations, folks. I love America just as much as you do, and I support all the ones that have fought and served for our country. But if we are Bible believers this morning, the thing that's going to stand is what God has built, and His Word is going to stand. And in the end, that's the side I want to be on, is on the Lord's side. I want to be walking with Him and be pleasing to Him and bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say He's a God of love and you don't say He's a God of wrath, that's only half the truth. If you try to make half the truth become all the truth, it becomes an untruth. You can't have one without the other. God said to Enoch, when Methuselah is gone, judgment will be sent. You know what Enoch said? I better walk with God. And you know that's the decision you need to make this morning. I better walk with God. I'm going to give you a fair warning, just like my dad used to give me fair warnings. He said, son, I'm going to give you your fair warning. If you do it again, we're going out. I'm going to take my belt off and I'm going to wear you out. And, you know, most of the time when dad told me that, I straightened up. A little fear there. Well, I'm not trying to scare you into heaven this morning. I'm not trying to scare you if you're backslidden, cold and indifferent in your heart and mind. But I'll tell you this, I'm going to give you some fair warning. God is at the doorstep, and God loves you this morning, but God is a God of wrath this morning. and God is going to unleash his wrath on the sinfulness, the unholy, the spotted, those that aren't walking with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He's going to unleash it. And when he does, you can say, you can't sit back and say, I didn't know, you never told me. Well, if you're under the sound of good sound preaching and good sound teaching, you've heard it week in and week out. Today, you too know that judgment is coming. You better walk with God. What are you doing this morning for heaven's sake? How are you living in the day that we live in today? I would ask you, is Jesus real to you this morning? Do you have that intimate fellowship that you need to have with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you walking with him? Are you walking by faith? Are you walking in fellowship? And are you bearing fruit for the Lord? If you're not saved this morning, you may not understand everything that I said there in Enoch walking with God and he was translated. If you're not saved, the Bible says that if you'll confess the Lord Jesus Christ with thy mouth and believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus Christ, he said he'll save you. It's that simple. If you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, I would encourage you to make that decision today. If you are saved this morning and you're not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd encourage you to get that thing back up on the road and get it going the straight and narrow and walk with the Lord so that you can be pleasing to him in the days that we live as we rise to our feet.